Welcome to Gina's Table. I'm so glad that you joined me this week. I hope that you have your favorite drink, tea, coffee, soda, whatever it is that you like, and that you are ready to have a conversation about the labels that we wear. If you joined us last week, you know that I talked about us making a list of the labels that we wear. Some that we pick up by natural, others have been placed on us. We all have labels. And we talked about this last week, and I believe that it's really important for us to be able to identify and process those labels that we clothe ourselves in. Because our identity becomes so linked to the labels that we wear. Have you made your list of labels? If not, it's not too late. You can take a piece of paper and a pen and begin to write down the very things that you feel have defined you. Again, maybe some of those things you assumed naturally, while others were thrown at you. I shared some of mine last week, and we're going to go a little deeper today, looking at the things that have defined us. Here's the truth that I want you to know today. Labels divide us, but Christ, Jesus, he reconciles us. Labels divide us. We live in a very divided culture, divided by all sorts of labels. But you see, Jesus came so that he could reconcile us, to bring us back to himself. I love the scripture that's found in the New Testament where he says there's neither Jew or Gentile, male or female, but we're all one with him. You see, labels, they've been around for a while. This isn't new. And so as we look into this today, we think about the labels and how they divide people, right? You know how they divide people, and you can probably even come up with different ways than I can. But they create silos in which we feel like we have to conform to. And sadly, far too often, we find that we can't conform to this silo or this way of thinking or this label. And so we end up leaving the table altogether because our labels become our identity. Our labels become what define us. But I don't think that's what's supposed to define us. Oftentimes, labels are things we do, right? Or names we are called. But none of that is the essence of who we really are. Of course, it might explain us, or it might even describe us. But who we are is deeper than that. There's biological factors that define us, our DNA, our family of origin, the place of our birth. Here's the thing, I can't help that I was born a white female in the Midwest any more than you can help where you were born. You fill in the blank, right? But those are part of our labels from the beginning, a Midwesterner, a girl, white, middle class, poor, farmer, small town. All of those things, right? But way back in the beginning, not just our beginning, but way back in the beginning of time, in the book of Genesis, which is the first book in the Bible, it tells us that God created male and female in his image. Wow. This is the first thing that the word has spoken about male and female, is that we're made in the image of God. Let that sink in just a moment. We are image bearers of God Almighty. Did you know that? Do you believe that you are an image bearer of God? That is an amazing thing to think about. That is an like blow my mind type of truth. And yet, it is the truth. But so often, we start the story with, we're sinners, we're dirty, we're shameful, We're broken. We're disobedient. We're bad. We're ungrateful. And that is what we begin to define our beginning. And yet, that isn't the beginning of the story at all. The beginning of the story is that we're made in the image of God. If we could truly grasp that meaning, it would change everything. That's the conversation we should be starting with. We are made in the image of God. You see, I've learned something over the years. When we judge by labels, we are placing or determining the value of others. But we don't get to determine the value of anyone. Only God can do that. And he says we are all made in his image. Everyone. That's everyone. No one's exempt from everyone. I can't give you value, and you can't give me value. I can't take away your value. Your value has already been determined, and you are a valuable son, daughter, made in the image of God. That is weighty stuff. That is stuff that I can't always wrap my mind around. But let me read you this scripture found in Psalms 139, and it says, "You made all of the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex, and aren't we complex? Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in the utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life has been recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, oh God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me." Let that sink in. If this God, whose thoughts towards us, towards you and towards me, are bigger and deeper and more numerous than we could count, then we need to take a deeper look at how we have lived in our labels instead of the freedom that comes when we allow ourselves to believe we are made in the image of God. When we allow ourselves to believe and grasp on that we are image bearers of God. You see, I think our labels get a voice at our table. Those labels we've been wearing, some open for all to see, right? While others are hidden just below the surface. They have a voice in our head. Labels inspire self-talk. They become the narrative in our head. The one person we talk to the most is us, is to ourselves. And if we aren't careful, we will allow labels that someone else has thrown on us to define who we are and how we live our lives. As I've been digging really deep into this whole identity and who we are in Christ and how that plays out as I'm in this new, you know, very weird place in life, I've been thinking about it from the very beginning. And if you know my story at all, you know that my parents got divorced when I was very young, three or four years old. And when I was a teenager, I wore a couple of labels that were pretty heavy. One was the label that I was a child of divorced parents. And while some of you go, yeah, so is half the world out there, in the church circles that I grew up in, and in the 80s when it was still maybe not as prevalent as it is today, there were pastors who told their sons they couldn't date girls whose parents had been divorced. because, you know, I guess you can catch divorce. And I remember being set down in a parsonage, and if you don't know what a parsonage is, it's the house in which the pastor lives. And a pastor and his dear wife telling me the reason why their boys could never date me. And that was because my parents were divorced and they wanted something better for their sons. I was 14. I didn't have a clue what that meant or how that played into who I would date and marry. And so as I've thought about that label, and it even follows me back a little bit more, I also wore the label of who I think were well-meaning people who used to tell me from my earliest memories, you know, Gina, if you hadn't been born, your parents wouldn't have gotten a divorce. You were kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. That's a weighty responsibility for any child to hear. And it's taken a lot of counseling and a lot of years to realize that people making grown-up decisions has little or nothing to do with the baby that enters into their life. But labels that people throw on us, that we wear, you see, those labels, just those two stories, left me with a feeling of being unworthy, and that label became pretty big, or not good enough, even bigger, or broken, right? Those labels followed me not just from the time I was 3, but all the way into adulthood. They followed me and they took up space in my heart, in my mind, and in my soul. They've been draped around my shoulders and have whispered lies into my ears. When I begin to see these as falsehoods spoken upon me, bad labels placed on a child, I had to find a way to free myself from their force, because they have force. Labels have force. They have force at your own personal table, and they have force at the tables that we begin to seat ourselves at. So as you think about your labels, maybe you have some like this, that have defined you and held you captive, and it's time to take those labels off, to set them aside, see them for what they are, but they don't need to define you or control you any longer. And I also realize that's easier said than done. When labels become such a part, an intricate part of who we are, it's easy to see our identity in that label. But labels divide, and Jesus reconciles. He reconciles that broken narrative of our labels that have become who we are. And in order for us to truly come to a table, we need to be able to see who we are and come just as we are. I really don't know what labels you're wearing. I wish we were actually sitting face to face and we could talk about some of the labels that have defined you and in your life and how they play out even today. But I want to challenge us to continue to do the hard work of reviewing the labels that define ourselves so that we truly can become who we're meant to be. Sons and daughters of the King, image bearers of God. I don't want to continue to walk around with a cloak of shame based on labels. I always think of the Harry Potter books, and if you've read them or seen the movies, you know that there's an invisible cloak, and they wear that, and they can walk around, and they're invisible. But I think far too many of us are walking around with a cloak of shame, and it holds all of these labels that have been placed on us, and it has become our identity. And I don't want you to have to walk one more day in that. I want you to find freedom. And freedom comes when we lay aside them all and pick up the ones that truly fit us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you look back at that scripture that I read found in Psalms 39, fearfully and wonderfully made, made in the image of God, known from the very beginning. How precious are God's thoughts for us? There are too many to count. It would be like going to the ocean and trying to count the sand. We can't count the good thoughts that God has for us. And I am willing to bet that when you think about God and his thoughts for you, you're not thinking that they're good and they're pleasant if you are still wrapped in the cloak of your labels of shame and doubt and fear. Too many of us think that God's thoughts match our thoughts about ourselves. But he loves you. He pursues you. He said he has known you since the very beginning, your beginning, and his thoughts are good about you. Here's the thing. I'm sick of wearing labels that steal my joy and rob me of life. Rob me of the life that I am called to live. In John 10:10, it says that God came and gave his life so that we could have an abundant life. And not an abundant life full schedule, but an abundant life of joy. I'm old enough now to know that life is too short. And we have limited time to live an abundant life. And if we waste so much time cloaked in these labels that God never, ever, ever meant for us to wear, we miss out on the tables he's called us to. This week, I'm challenging you to continue to look at labels. And if you join me next week at Gina's table, we're going to finish up talking about labels. And then the next week, Jason's going to be back on the podcast with us as we talk about labels in marriage, gender roles, who does what and how and when, and what does God say about a husband and a wife and submission. Should be fun. But today, let me encourage you to continue to dig deep into your labels. And know that God's thoughts about you are amazing, and you are made in the image of God.